Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When the clay one happened, I walked back out. Well, first of all, the part about, you know, he went back out there, right, which everybody's talked about. And somebody ran out and grabbed us in the tunnel and said, if he doesn't shoot these free throws, he can't come back. And Clay didn't even wait for an answer. He just walked back on the court. And I grabbed him and I said, listen, man, if you're going to shoot these free throws, because we didn't know what it was at that time. We didn't have no idea. He hadn't been examined. And I said, we don't know what this is. Shoot the free throws. Don't move. Just shoot the free throws and stay there. Okay. All right. I got it. Shoots the free throws.
Runs
of course, he starts running back.
He's like, what? He'll log in.
I said, what are you doing?
He jumps up and down.
But maybe that's my own fault for trusting that he would. But that's the competitor in the guy.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are Warriors Huddle with me, Bram, and I am fired up to announce that this is a very special episode. Rejoining us, an orthopedic physician and surgeon, a sports medicine specialist who provides comprehensive and specialized care for all sports injuries, including those to the Achilles and knee, and by far the best educated and most qualified guest we've had on this show, Dr. Kyle F. Chun. What's going on, doctor?
Nothing much, man. We, as always, hello from where everybody else goes to vacation, to wherever you live.
You mean Hawaii? And I'm trying not to be bitter about, like, I just read your credentials. I'm already jealous of that. I don't need to be bitter about your where you live as well, Doc. And normally this is where I jokingly try to get you to tell me that the name of one of your past patients rhymes with Meth Lurie, but I won't do that today because we desperately need your help, man. The Warriors were rocked by two pretty substantial injuries to end the year. And although there's a million social media doctors out there and everybody seemingly knows what the hell they're talking about, I actually wanted to talk to somebody who has the credentials to deal with this stuff, which is why we're bothering you. So let's start with Clay. He suffered a torn ACL on his left knee. He hasn't gone through the surgery yet, but is waiting for it. Let's start here, man. Have you ever treated a torn ACL?
Yeah, that's probably one of the more common things we get. You know, I take care of a lot of high school athletes out here, as well as the university athletes. And it's one of the more common things that sports medicine surgeons or even just general orthopedists will take care of. You know, I don't know. I don't exactly understand why it's the most common ligament torn, maybe second to the MCL. But it's the most common one that we're doing surgery on, you know, as far as the knee goes. It's a ligament that's on the inside part of the knee. It protects our knee against certain rotational movements, as well as if you can picture the shin bone coming forward in relation to the femur bone or the thigh bone. And so it protects against those two movements. And I think it has a lot to do with the way our limbs are positioned in periods of trying to absorb force. So with, you know, like Clay's injury, you know, coming down with a leg near full extension, and especially if you're coming down flat-footed, I don't know if that was the case with him, but if, you know, your calf muscle is not engaged, you're coming down flat-footed, your leg's in full extension, your body's muscles don't really have that ability to absorb that sort of energy.
Sure.
And I think that's what a lot of times happens.
We are overestimating my intelligence. Start at a remarkably ignorant level. What does the ACL allow your leg to do? What movements does it help the knee perform?
So it doesn't necessarily allow certain movements or, you know, lend itself to do certain things. But what it does is it protects.
It's the protection. Oh, I got you.
Movement.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's
that description. Against, you know, it protects against your shin bone from rotating, you know, in relation to your thigh bone. And it protects against your shin bone from translating or coming forward in relation to your thigh bone. So if you're looking at you from the side, you know, if somebody pushed your shin bone forward in its most simplistic way, that ACL kind of is a check rein and it kind of keeps
it
from going out there.
Okay. I understand. And one of the things that kind of stuck out, one of the cool things about the injury, and talk about a weird way to put it, but, you know, Clay goes down, gets hurt, they take him off the court, and then he comes back heroically, right? I mean, he came out to shoot the two free throws, and we later learned he did that because he wanted at least the opportunity to stay in the game, and then obviously they took him out and he couldn't come back. But the fact that he came back, you know, it's like this stuff of legend. I was at the game. I was like close to tears. I don't want to admit to you. But help add to the legend. As far as you know, what kind of pain are we talking about? When somebody suffers a torn ACL, is it pretty nasty? Is it all adrenaline at that point? So he wasn't fighting through pain. I mean, what did Clay have to do to come back on that court?
Well, I think you're talking, you know, I think we're not really, you know, as far as my experience on a day-to-day basis as a practicing orthopedist, it'd be like comparing, you know, apples to oranges. I mean, you're talking about an elite level world-class athlete that, you know, it's beyond the genetic capabilities of most, you know, living beings sure. in the universe. And so, you know, these guys have the ability to push through things that not many people can. Now, these ACLs come in many different shapes and sizes. They sometimes they look like they explode. Sometimes they look like they just kind of peel off. Sometimes the knee looks like it's been hit with a sledgehammer. Sometimes it looks completely normal. So it really depends on, you know, the energy that went through the knee when it happened. And it depends on, you know, whether or not he has a torn, I'm assuming he doesn't have a torn meniscus because he probably would have had surgery already, but it depends on what other sort of things happen in the knee when that ACL tears. I'm going to assume, to kind of address your question, that he was in an appreciable amount of discomfort, you know, to the point that most people will, you know, decide to bow out and sit on the court. You know, sit off the court, and that he probably had a certain large amount of contribution from his, you know, his adrenaline, his desire to help the team, sure. you know, just being a, you know, a team player, just to try to kind of give that motivation to try to get, you know, get the team through to the next level. And, but, you know, definitely he wasn't feeling normal.
I respect the hell. If I get a podcast in the court, or a podcast, if I get a paper cut in the course of this podcast, I won't be able to keep going. So I respect that he was able to return. Here's one I was excited to hear. So it's human nature. I do it too. But when an athlete suffers an injury, what we like to do is look back on past athletes who had the similar injury and get a sense of what we can expect as far as recovery. But what that ignores is advancements in medical science. You know, I know that you guys are constantly developing new ways to deal with injuries. So let's focus that on ACLs. I mean, over the last, I don't know, 10 years, have there been advancements on how to treat these injuries, or is it still kind of the same?
Well, I think that's the funny thing with the ACLs. It's probably one of the most debated, injuries in terms of, you know, technique that we probably have in sports medicine. There's not a whole lot of things that get debated more in terms of how to do it, where to put the ligament, what technique to use, where you should put your tunnels, so on and so forth. There's just a litany of research and papers that have been published on, you know, A to Z ways to do an ACL. You know, and I think the pendulum swings over time. It's kind of like education, you know, theories on, you know, you should teach your kids this or teach your kids that. As you know, and to the point that I think now, for the most part, what I'm hearing and reading is that, you know, these ACLs that we're doing now most resemble the ACL that was done 15, 20 years ago.
Huh.
You know, we came up with all this research looking at, okay, well, let's put the ACL exactly where the old ACL was, or, you know, let's try to put the tunnels. When I see referring to tunnels or sockets, you actually have to drill holes in the bone to put a new ligament in there to let your body heal it. You can't repair the ligament itself. You actually have to take tissue from somewhere else and put it there. And so, you know, all these different studies came out saying you have to put the tunnel here, and maybe you should put two tunnels instead of one, or, you know, so on and so forth. And what we saw over the last 15 years or so is we saw the re-rupture rate, meaning the likelihood that the graft would re-rupture kind of went up as we started trying to make things a little bit more anatomic. And then so now this pendulum swung back and we're putting them back where they were, many years ago. And so to answer the question in terms of, you know, what is the, you know, most up-to-date thing in terms of, you know, advances in medicine, I think perhaps the more pertinent advances have been, you know, the surgical technique in terms of the equipment that we use. So the camera technology, the aiming guides for the drills, the rehabilitation protocols, all of these sort of, you know, the implant types have advanced. But in terms of where we're putting the graft, it hasn't changed a whole lot.
Sure. I mean, it sounds like the procedure is at least substantially similar, but your ability to do that procedure has gotten a lot better with the equipment.
Correct. It's gotten a lot quicker. It's gotten a lot minimally invasive. The rehabilitation is a lot quicker. Right. We understand more about the dynamics around the knee.
And with that new, I mean, at least with the new instrumentality and the old procedure, what's our timeline now? And I heard you, you know, we are dealing with somebody who's been nicknamed Wolverine, right? We've got a world-class athlete, and then also we've got normal people suffering these injuries. So what's the basic spread? You know, what's the spectrum on that? What's the fastest you've seen somebody be able to come back, and then, you know, a worst-case scenario?
Yeah, so I use this line probably about 3 or 4 times a week when I'm getting a kid saying, you know, when can I go back and play? And my line is like, okay, so how fast did Adrian Peterson come back and almost break that record?
Yeah.
So he was on the field 6 months after his ACL.
All right.
So Adrian Peterson is a freak athlete playing a contact sport that requires a lot of cutting. And that is the fastest that you will probably see somebody come back at that level.
Okay.
6 months. Okay. Now, the most re-injuries to the ACL that we see typically happen in the first 2 years.
And this is following surgery. Forgive me. I should have set it up. This is 6 months after he actually does the surgery.
This is after the surgery. Okay. Correct. Not after the injury. This is after you get that new graft put in there.
Gotcha.
And this is barring any sort of complications which occur to all of us as surgeons, you know, infections, stiffness of the knee, you know, hardware problems, all these sorts of things that can come up that have less to do with the surgeon themselves or the procedure and just more with, you know, bad luck. You know, I mean, there's just this, you know, certain percentage of complications that will happen no matter who you are.
Sure.
But barring any of those things, you know, I use Adrian Peterson all the time. You know, he comes back and almost breaks this record 6 months after an ACL. You know, I tell my run of the mill weekend warrior guy or my high school athlete, you know, with a who I'm giving what I would consider the gold standard graft, which is a patella tendon graft, hey, look, I will let you start getting on the field if you show me you regain your strength and you pass my return to sport protocol at 6 months, but not sooner.
Yeah. Okay. And so, I mean, basically it's just a dynamic process. Start looking at 6 months and then just prepare, you know, if they're not ready then just keep checking back in. Let me ask you another spectrum question. So on one side, have you ever had somebody come back at 100%? And on the other side, what permanent limitations can also happen? You know, give me a reason for optimism, hopefully, and then prepare us for some negativity.
So I've had the entire spectrum. I think the majority of my, what I would consider my motivated athletes, meaning people that are either, you know, they just really, really want to get back to where they are. They either have, you know, ulterior motive in terms of scholarship opportunities or whatnot, return to near 100%. I've had some, I just had a kid come back 2 weeks ago trying to get into the military that needed me to write him a note that said the side that I did felt better than his side that he never injured, you know? And so I think there is the definite and actually there's a definite possibility. And to a certain degree, at least in my hands, I expect my patients to return at or near 100%. And so I wouldn't expect anything else out of him. You know, I mean, he's, you know, again, like you said, you know, these guys are freak athletes and, you know, an ACL nowadays in a professional athlete has turned into a recoverable injury. You know, you've got Tom Brady. I mean, look at what he's done. You got, you know, and Tom Brady had other ligament injured as well. You got Peterson, you got multiple guys coming back from ACLs, you know, are going to be perfect. Edelman, MVP last year, right?
Yep.
All these guys coming back crazy after ACLs. And so I think he probably, you know, if I'm in Vegas, I'm betting a lot of money that he comes back as good or better than he was before.
Let's go. I'm motivated enough by that take where if I did have a paper cut, I'd be able to keep going now, Doc. You've helped me through my own pussiness here. Let's flip. So the other injury might be more severe, but I certainly want your take on it. Kevin Durant had a couple of them. He suffers what the Warriors call the mild calf strain on May 8th, and then he has a ruptured right Achilles when he comes back on June 10th. Let's start easy. Am I right in assuming you've treated both calf and Achilles injuries?
Yep, I have.
On
the same side. He had them on the same side.
Yeah, exactly right. Both right-sided. And so let me, and I've got a lot of questions on this one, but let's start simply. Achilles, you know, the same way that you kind of let us know what the ACL does within the body, what's the Achilles doing for us?
Yeah, so the Achilles, you know, in the simplistic, terms, you know, is the heel cord, you know, connects our calf muscle down to our heel bone, allows us to push off, with our feet, you know, which is important in jumping, stability just with standing and, protection of the ACL, protection of the ankle, and gives us a lot of our explosion. And I consider, it's one of the terminal or the end portion of what's called the posterior chain, which connects, essentially your pelvis and lower back all the way down to the bottom of your feet, including your gluteals, your hamstrings and your calf muscles, the Achilles kind of that anchor point. Okay. It's this really important ligament that allows us to be explosive, to change directions and to maintain balance.
I know what a calf is. I bet you our listeners do too. So I'm going to have kind of a more poignant question on the calf. Warriors came out and announced it as a mild calf strain. I'm not a doctor. I certainly don't have any medical degree and never spent a day in medical school. But I've read enough sports articles in the past and have seen enough people who have calf injuries where my understanding is these things are normally given grades, like grade one, grade two. I have never heard a designation as mild. But let me ask you, is that a medical determination? Like when the Warriors came out and called this thing a mild calf strain, have you ever heard that diagnosis before?
Yeah, I think, at least in my, bank of words and how I describe things, I consider mild a grade one. I would consider moderate a grade two, and I would consider severe a grade three.
Okay.
In orthopedics, we kind of go in these grade one, two, three things, and it's kind of an arbitrary sort of thing. There's some classification schemes, but when I heard Kevin Durant has a mild calf strain, I'm like, oh, he's got a grade one calf strain, which, as soon as they hear grade one strain anything, I'm thinking, this is probably 4 to 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks on the outside. That's what I'm thinking when I think mild.
And we are going to cover the connection between the calf and the Achilles. First, let's get a sense of what Durant's future is. So same thing I asked you before, as far as treating a torn Achilles, has there been advancement there? Is it the same kind of pendulum swing where it's the same procedures but better instrumentality, or how is that injury treated now?
So it's, in its most simplistic form, it's connected. It's kind of like, trying to, a rope tore in its middle and you try to, repair it end to end, but it depends where it tears and it depends on what the tissue looks like. So it can tear in the middle of the tendon, in which case it's like, connecting two ends of a rope. It can tear all the way down where it's attached at your heel bone, which then you're attaching tendon to bone, or it can tear further up near what we call the musculotendinous junction, which is where the calf muscle is turning into the tendon. It's a transition zone. So it depends where it tears in terms of what you can do. And so to answer your question, yes, there has been a lot, actually in the past probably 10 to 15 years, a lot more advancements in the way we treat Achilles tendon ruptures compared to the ACL.
Good.
There's been a lot of things reported in terms of whether or not we actually have to treat Achilles tendon rupture. So in the lay person, and I see in my office, I'm giving them an option. Hey, you tore your Achilles tendon. A lot of these do not need to be repaired, believe it or not. It's kind of crazy. But in my young athletic population, the functional return and the likelihood of them re-tearing it is lower if I repair it.
Sure.
So if I have a more of a, for lack of a better term, a couch potato weekend warrior athlete, or just somebody that happens to step off the curb and tear their Achilles, but they're not playing sports 3 or 4 times a week, I'm probably going to try to convince that person, hey, let's just treat this non-operatively. There's really good studies that have shown if we rehab this thing appropriately and early, that you're going to have good function.
Yeah.
On the flip end, I get a 16-year-old soccer player that plants his foot, feels a pop, and that thing's torn, and I get him within a week. I'm saying, let's just fix this thing because I know I'm going to get you back quicker than if I treat you non-operatively.
And so give me both spectrums, all right? What I'm interested in is best case timeline when they can come back following a surgery, worst case timeline, and then what we can expect physically, whether you've ever seen somebody actually come back 100% and if that's the norm as opposed to, something that we can't possibly expect.
So, I think we talked about this with Boogie Cousins a few months, almost a year ago, maybe now. But, I think to answer the first part of the question, how long can we expect this guy to be out? I think I tell everybody with these Achilles, especially if you're at a high level sport, especially something like basketball, where you're going to be expected to explode, change directions and jump. I mean, this is a 9 months to a year injury.
Okay.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, this is a long one.
Yep.
You know, I think 6 months is way, way, way too quick to be optimistic in terms of somebody coming back full speed.
Sure.
Like, I'd be happy if they prove me wrong. I'm sure you would too.
Yep.
And then to the second part of your question, you know, at what level will he or can he return? I think that's a little bit more up in the air. I think if you look at, you know, at the track record of Achilles tendon injuries in the NBA, you know, if you can look at all of these guys going back, you know, past Kobe, even before that, some guys make it back great and some guys never really do. And so I think it's a little bit unpredictable in terms of how they do. Now, does that mean that I wouldn't offer him as much as I possibly could? Probably not, because I mean, he's arguably, if not the best guy on the court,
right?
I mean, one of the best, you know? And so, I mean, I think for somebody like him, it's worth a gamble.
So just to make sure what you're saying is if you were advising a team as their team doctor and they came to you and said, Doc, should we give this dude a max offer? You would say, yeah, go for it.
I would. Okay. He's Kevin Durant.
Yeah. Right. And he might still be that. So here, let me, cause the connection between Boogie is exactly right. And I'm going to just share my neurosis. You tell me if it's off. So, you know, we saw Boogie come back. He only played very briefly. Then he suffers a quad injury and they rush him back immediately. And then we saw him in the finals. But my perception of Boogie in the finals, man, he still had his skill set, but he had lost his lift. He'd get to the basket, but he just couldn't jump anymore. And it's easy for me to immediately say, oh, it's his Achilles. It's his quad. He has nothing left. But it leads to this question. This recovery, is it an ongoing one? That is to say, Boogie looks like he can't jump right now. But let's say next year, you know, can we expect ongoing recovery from the Achilles, from the quad? Does it continue to get better, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, I mean, if that was my patient and I saw him, you know, and I had him laid up for a year and then I brought him back and he strained his quad, I'm looking at his quad as a deconditioning injury. I'm looking at this as like, look, you weren't, you felt ready. We let you go back. You were playing, but now you got this injury because everything else downstream of this injury is now, you know, it's kind of like not running your car for a little while. You're going to have stuff that's, you know, maybe the transmission went out, but then you start running it again. Now the water pump goes because, you know, whatever it is. And so there's downstream things to, so in answer to your question, yeah, I think that this is a long-term recovery process that you can expect prolonged periods of improvement over time. And I honestly wouldn't write somebody off for it. I mean, I'm just throwing a number out there, but I wouldn't write somebody off for at least 2 years after it.
Okay.
You know, especially these guys.
So it is possible they get back to 100%. Maybe not probable, but at least possible. Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
And which leads me to the part I've been most fired up about. So, there's been all types of speculation out there about whether or not Durant came back. Is there a connection between the calf and the Achilles? And before we get into any of it, let's set up this premise. So Dr. Chun has not treated Kevin Durant, has not seen any of his medical records, has not been allowed to view any of his MRIs. So I'm going to take it away from the specific and make it generalized. All right. We are just talking about a possible patient. Let me start here. Let's assume that you are treating a patient. He's a basketball player. They suffer a right-sided mild calf strain. Would you think that that strain would make that patient more susceptible to a right-sided Achilles tear?
No.
Why not?
Because in my mind, it depends what the MRI looks like. But if it's truly a calf strain, and it's up in the muscle itself, and it's not at that area that I talked to you about in that musculotendinous junction where that muscle is turning into tendon, if it's really all the way up in the muscle, I really don't understand how that makes you susceptible to sustaining a torn tendon.
Yep.
Now, if that calf strain was in that neighborhood of that area where the muscle is turning into tendon, I can see how that can put you at a higher risk for getting a rupture, especially if the rupture ends up being in that same zone.
I got you. So
if the rupture is out of the zone where it's down in the tendon or it's all the way down by the heel, I don't know how that, I can't think of any way how that will make you susceptible to that, because if it's in a completely different area and, you know, he plants his foot, you know, and this athlete plants his foot, pushes off and feels a pop and it tears in the area that he recently had the strain, that makes sense to me. It's kind of like there's an area that was cracked already.
Yep. And then it was weakened.
It's going to fail in the area that it's weakest. But if it fails in another area that wasn't injured before, I don't understand how that happens. And so to me, if it truly was a cash strain, it should not make him more susceptible to sustaining a true Achilles tendon rupture, which would be through the tendon. My guess is that if I had a patient with a cast strain that I thought was a cast strain and I didn't have an MRI, or even if I did, but it was anywhere near that musculotendinous junction.
Yep.
And then I get a call from the coach and he says, hey, you know, kid planted, felt a pop. First thing I'm going to think is like he tore his Achilles at the junction, which okay. is where that thing was. Yep. I just really wouldn't think that it would be down in the cord.
And it makes sense. And what it also really illustrates is the difference between specific and general, right? Because with correct. The, so I mean, what we are hearing everybody without a medical degree saying, and I was one of them, I'll be totally upfront, is of course there's, you know, the calf bones connected to the Achilles. Of course they should have known. But really what I'm hearing you say is each injury is different and you would need to be able to actually see what injury it was, where it was before you could make that determination.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. And, you know, it's all open to speculation and, you know, in terms of, you know, I mean, I've heard things already, you know, it's like, well, maybe it was a partial Achilles and they let him go back and then he tore the Achilles. I don't think anybody in their right mind
would ever do that, right?
That would let Kevin Durant go back with a partial Achilles tear. Okay. There's no way.
Let
so
me
it
ask
probably
it.
Honestly was a cast.
Let me ask it a different way. And it's a two-part question. First, so when you're working with a patient who's trying to get back and they ultimately decide, okay, you know, it's the moment for them to come back, for you in your practice, do you just leave it up to, I mean, do you give them the risks and then leave it up to them, or is it your final word?
I give them the risks and I leave it up to them.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, please go ahead.
No, my, the way I look at myself in terms of, you know, what I do for my practice is, you know, if we're talking life or limb, you know, in terms of, you know, hey, you're going to get really, really hurt with this, like something where I might not be able to fix it, and I'm not totally sure, then I will say absolutely you can't. But when I have good objective evidence that, yep. hey, this thing followed the right timeline, everything's, you know, this kid's doing everything that I need him to do on the sideline or in the gym or whatever it is. The therapist, you know, I talk to him on the phone, they say, hey, you know, this kid's good, you know, his muscle strength's good, tone's good, reaction time's good. And, you know, I say, hey, look, you know, you got this injury, it's followed the right timeline. This is what I think it is. I can't guarantee you that you're not going to re-injure anything All else, right. but just based upon what I'm looking at, if you feel like you can go, I'm okay if you go. That's my line.
It makes perfect sense because you're not, I mean, ultimately there's got to be a whole subjective component to this. So you're just describing,
correct.
Here's the objective findings, but ultimately subjectively, what are you feeling? Here's the money question. All right. And I think I know I'm almost positive it'll be exactly as you described before, that you'd need a little bit of information about where the tear was. But if you were treating a person and you think that they are right, you know, to the point where they might be able to come back from a calf strain, a mild one, and you were giving them the possible risks, you know, you were giving them the speech you just told us about, would one of the risks you talk to them about be an Achilles tear?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, and because of what you just told us, right? Because as long as it wasn't in that transition area, if it was so high, then there's no reason to think there would be any connection.
Right.
Well, there you go. It makes sense. If you had to bet, because I didn't get this question, and I love the one on clay. If you were in Vegas and you had to put money down, would you bet that Kevin Durant comes back at 100%?
Yeah, I would.
Hey, all right, Doc. This has been not only informative, but reason for optimism. I really appreciate you doing this with us. I really enjoy our pod.
Yeah,
awesome.
You're fun, man.
Vice versa, man. You're a lot more informative and fun than most of our guests. But you know, if anybody out there was looking for a phenomenal surgeon or just wanted more Dr. Chun in their life, anywhere they should turn, is there a website or anything like that we should let them know about?
Oh yeah, you can find me at KyleChunMD.com, and that can kind of pretty much get you to wherever you need to be, and then. Yeah, hopefully you don't get hurt if you're vacationing in Hawaii. But if you do, I'll see you.
He's got your back. Doctor, thank you. Get back to your patients, and hopefully we'll talk to you again. I'm not going to say soon because that means there's been another nasty injury we need to cover, but I'm looking forward to it whenever it is.
All right, buddy. You take care. Have a good day.
You too, Doc. Talk to you soon.
I love doing this pod. Always love doing this pod, but there's something specific about the Dr. Kyle pods that I really genuinely enjoy doing. It just makes me feel smarter afterwards, which is a really hard thing to do for me. On our side, if you want to reach out, all the normals apply. Our email is warriorshuddle@gmail.com. Our Twitter is @warriorshuddle. But maybe most importantly, I wanted to talk to you guys really briefly about the Patreon account. So we are on Patreon. That's patreon.com. And it's set up. And so far, I tell you guys that if you'd like to support us in any way, we'd really appreciate it. Even a dollar a month helps. But one time before, and I want to be honest again now, I've let you know how much that Patreon support means. It means the world. In fact, it's the main reason that we can continue to do this podcast on a weekly basis. So if you have the inclination and you'd like to help us out even a little bit, please hop up on Patreon and help us out, and to show you how much we appreciate you and to start giving back a little bit. The first three people who hop up on the Patreon account and donate to us following this ad are going to receive a free copy of the book about Kevin Durant that Marcus Thompson II put together, and it is excellent. Let me obviously say that if you do not want to donate to the Patreon account, we understand. We still appreciate your time. But if you are one of those who are going a little bit further, thank you, thank you, thank you. And please take this book as an illustration of what you mean to us. With that in mind, you guys, go Warriors. And hopefully, we'll see you real soon.
Good, good.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.